Let's look at Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land that I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Notice that he specified which particular land he was talking about that his foot shall tread upon that God would have given him. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Underline that. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. Right there, you need to find out how was God with Moses, because that's the way he's going to be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong now of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, don't speak anything else. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What we brought out is that God had given them this land called the Promised Land, or Canaan. Now today, we look at this, that Joshua is not here today except through Jesus. That Joshua, this Joshua, was a type of Jesus. And the Promised Land are the type of promises that God has for every believer and those who are part of that army of Israel. And it says, not any man able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. So we're going to find out a little bit about how he was with Moses, so we can know what to expect for ourselves in terms of God being with us. He said, I'll not fail you nor forsake you, nor ever let you down. Be strong now of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, so don't speak anything else. In the land of Canaan, don't speak anything else. Glory to God. You know, as I teach you this, God is teaching me. You know, you think you know this until you just run up on it and study it out again and get ready to teach it. Now, I'm only saying that because you might have a situation going on in your home. You might have a situation going on in your job. You might have a situation going on with your child. You might have a situation going on in your finances. You might have a situation going on in your business. You might have a situation going on in your church. You might, whatever it is, he is saying, now, if you want the best of God, he said, don't speak anything other than what God said. Isn't that something? Now, that's hard on the flesh, because the flesh wants to tell it like it is, honey. Tell it like it is. But this is what he's saying. This is the way it is. It's this way. And so don't let anything else come out of your mouth, no matter how bad it looks. Glory to God. Boy, that's something. Your flesh really has to go under to do that. And then he said this, do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So we pointed out the fact that one, God wants you to prosper, but he's saying you'll make your own way prosperous. And somebody said, well, wait a minute, I thought God was going to prosper. Well, God's going to be behind the whole thing. But he's actually putting the responsibility of prospering up to you and being successful up to you, meaning that you are the one that are going to be sitting in that place of responsibility. Now, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4, all the way over in the New Testament, and that's close to the book of Revelation, but not quite. If you're new here, we're kind of pointing you to the right place, because I need to go right on today. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says in verse 1, let us therefore fear, or reverent respect, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So God does not want anyone here to come short of entering into the best of God, into the promises, whatever he's promised you, he does not want you to come short of that. He said, for unto us was a gospel preached as well as unto them, But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So isn't it interesting? The word preached did not profit them because they fail to mix it with faith. They fail to mix it with faith. So it tells me that if you ever want to get into the promised land, into the best of God, you're going to have to take his word and mix it with faith. You're going to have some faith. You're going to have some faith to go in now. Now, what is faith? What is faith? What is faith? Faith, defined in Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for. Get this. The evidence of things, come on, not seen. See, not seen. So that word not seen, a translation is not perceivable by the senses. So faith is something that I cannot perceive with my five physical senses. Faith is something that I cannot feel, touch, see, taste, smell. That's faith. Now, what are you going to have? How's faith going to come? It's going to come through the word. But you get the word and faith comes. Now, I'm going to need faith because I can't go into Canaan and be successful without it. Because in Canaan, I've got to live, come on, by faith. I've got to live. If you're thinking about going into Canaan and not having any faith, stay out of there. You will get embarrassed. You got to have some faith. So we're going to talk about that some today and give you something to have faith for. Now, here it says that these things were given to us as examples. I mean, this group who first God wanted to go into the wilderness, go into Canaan, did not go in. They stayed in the wilderness. Why? The Bible says, look at the first, look at the chapter preceding that in the very last verse, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of, say it, unbelief. So it was unbelief that kept them from entering in. Unbelief. They didn't believe what God said. They'd rather believe what grandma said. Thank God for grandma. She helped bring us this far. But you know, maybe if what she said doesn't agree with the word of God, you need to leave grandma off and say, wait a minute, grandma, I love you and I respect you and everything, but I don't believe that. I don't believe my feet are killing me. Come on. I don't believe I'm getting old and my mind ain't what it used to be. Grandma, you saying some stuff that ain't in the Bible. In all due respect, Grandma. Are you following what I'm saying? That was that's going to be the difference between people who stayed in that place of just enough and those who get in that place of more than enough. They're best of God. Now let's look over here and let's go to the scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, glory to God, hallelujah to Jesus. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right, look what it says in Matthew 24, and look at verse 34. Jesus now is teaching. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Fulfilled. This generation. This generation. Now wait a minute. I know that last generation couldn't go in. They had unbelief. But they all died out. The kids were raised up. Now Joshua is going to take these people. Moses, my servant, is dead. And all that generation. But now this is the last generation. This is the harvesting generation. We're going in there and get this harvest out of this thing here. So all the promises of God now are going to be fulfilled. Somebody's got to fulfill them. God didn't just loose a bunch of words down here and just let them just sit down here. And if they come to pass, that's all. And Jesus be up there saying, well, let's see, we got 2/3 of it done. That's pretty good. Y'all come on. No. All of it's going to be done. He's not going to leave the enemy victory in any area. We're going to have every area of the devil under our feet. And he's not going to be beaming you up while your rent is due. You 2 months behind. Beam me up. No, he ain't beaming you up nowhere. You're going to stay and pay that rent. All right, look. Now, let's go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. All right, over in John chapter 4, let's go further. It is when Jesus had his had his dialogue with the woman at the well. And then this woman then, he made an evangelist out of. She went out. She had been married 5 times and was even living with a man. And she went out then and she got converted. And then went and told the other people about it. And they came out to see Jesus. And then the disciples came back. They had gone into the city to buy some meat, to buy some provisions. And so they came back. Now they're seeing Jesus here in verse 31 of John chapter 4. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said his disciples unto one another, "Has any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Underline, finish his work. Verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." In other words, they're ready right now. Don't try to put it off. Don't procrastinate any longer. The promises of God are yours right now. And the tendency has been for that old bunch there in the wilderness who died out. You know, they always wanted everything. The songs were always in the sweet by and by. But I need it in the nasty right now. I need some help now. I need debts canceled now. I need healing now. I need my children saved now. Now I'm just talking because some of y'all might need that. And now. Right? Say now. Praise God. Verse 38, "I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." He's going to even send you to reap where you didn't even sow any seed. Amen. Glory to God. Say, I am the harvesting generation. Praise God. Now, in this, let's go over to Matthew again, chapter 13. Because when God sends you into this world to do whatever he's called you to do, into Canaan, you are not operating naturally. Just get ready for it. It's going to be a supernatural type of lifestyle. Glory to God. Now look over here where he says, I'm not going to go through everything, but you can read verses 24 through 30. Now that is where Jesus was teaching on the fact that some wheat was sown, and then while they slept, some tares were sown. And then the disciples said, "Master, you know, wait a minute, you sowed good wheat in there, and we went out there and some tares were out there." Tares are counterfeit. They're not really wheat. They're something that really, they tell me tares, if you eat it, it'll affect your mind. It'll do something to your mind even. And it says here that they found tares out there among the wheat, and they offered to go out there and just, and asked Jesus, "How did that happen?" He said, "The enemy has done this." And they said, "Well, we'll go out there and root them out." He said, no, don't you do that. Because you do that, you'll root up some of my good wheat. You know, even in church, it's like that. You know, God will separate them. I said, God will separate them. Praise God in heaven. You just preach the gospel. So now, look at what he says in verse 36. "And Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the veil. In other words, tell us what you meant by this message that you preached, because they couldn't quite understand it. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Today we want to talk about the ministry of angels. The ministry of angels. Now I want you to go to Hebrews with me, Hebrews chapter 1. How does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by what? Word of God. So as you hear the word of God concerning angels, faith is going to come to get angels to work on your behalf. Are you ready for it? Look what it says here in verse 13 of Hebrews 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits? Who is he talking about there? Angels. They're all, what kind of spirits? Ministering spirits. That word ministering there, I put down in my Bible, ministering means coming to do service. So they're sent here to serve. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be what? Heirs of salvation. How many of you know that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus? Raise your hand if you know you are joint heirs with Jesus. So this is talking about you. See? Okay? So these angels, it says here that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them. It didn't say two. It said four. They're going to be ministering for you. May I help you, please? You want some collard greens? No. I'm just saying, ministry. Go and do things for you. I use my angels. I said, I use my angels. I mean, the other day, I asked David, I said, where's your door key? He said, I don't know. I left it over somebody's house. I said, you better find that door key. He said, well, Dad, I'm not sure where I left it. I said, get some help. Send some angels out after it. And I walked away. And then it came back this morning. He said, oh, I found my door key. Now, I want to bring my household up. That they'll use their help. And we don't go further into this. But angels, see, they're here. Where are they? All around. See, you got saved. Since you got saved, you got angels. You have been assigned. Angels have been dispatched from the Father on assignment for you. Glory to God. That's powerful stuff. Let's go over to Hebrews again, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Are you there? Let's see how many are available. Verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an what? Innumerable, come on, company of angels. How many is innumerable? Somehow you lost count. He's got as many as you need to get the job done. Let's keep going. Look at the next chapter, chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained, come on, angels unaware. Uh-oh. Now this thing is getting serious. That tells me that angels have, under the authority of the Father, can take a human form. Whoa! All right now. I was sharing a story this morning when I just give my life to the Lord and so forth, and I was up in Evanston going to church up there, and I had experience where we had choir rehearsal or something, but one of the sisters came in, and she came in with kind of a strange look on her face, and we said, "What happened?" You know, she said, "I got a story to tell you." I said, "What is it?" She said, "I was coming out of a grocery store with some grocery bags, and there was a gentleman leaning on the back of my car where the trunk was, and I said to myself, he's going to be surprised when he find out he's kind of leaning on my car." And she said, I came up to him. I said, "Excuse me, sir. I want to put my groceries in my car." He said, "Oh, excuse me. And he got back, and he had a box of groceries sitting on the ground. And as I was putting those groceries in there, and I'm trying to give you this story as accurately as I can remember it, he said to me, "Can you give me a lift home or to my address?" And she said, she had to contemplate that a minute, because, you know, you know, don't you? I don't need to go with it. And she said, you know, he was looking like he's getting on up in years and so forth. And she said, "Well, I'll give him a lift." She said, "Where do you live?" He said, "Well, just a few blocks," and so forth and so on. She said, "Okay, well, I'll give you a lift." And put the groceries in the trunk, and they drove on. And as she was driving him, he began to ask questions. He said, "Well, do you go to church? Do you love the Lord? How often do you go to church?" So forth and like that. Well, she was answering questions like that and so forth. They pretty soon got to his residence or the address. And she stopped, let him out. Well, he got out, she got out, opened the trunk, got the groceries out, and had them in his hand and so forth. It obviously was quite a load for him. And then he said, "That's all right, I've got it now. Thank you very much." And she shut the trunk. She said, "Can you make it from here?" Because she saw the house was up an embankment. And it was steps up there, but she saw that was a little climb. So he said, "Oh, yes, I can make it now." And she said she got back in the car and put the car in gear and drove off. And she said, drove off for a couple of seconds, then looked back in the mirror, and nobody was there. And she said she stopped, put on the brakes, and looked out. Look, gone, totally gone. She said there was no way possible he could have left that spot and went up those steps in those few seconds. No way. So she had this look on her face. And I'm only saying that some have entertained angels unaware. Now, let's go over to Revelation chapter 22. If you're going to go in there and take those giants and get that harvest that God has left out there and that's remaining here to be fulfilled, you're going to need some help. You're going to need some supernatural help. Now look what it says here in Revelation 22 and verse 7. This is John now talking, the Apostle John, as he wrote the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. "Behold, I come quickly." Now who said that? Jesus. How do you know Jesus said it? It's in the red, all right? "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See, thou do it not." In other words, don't worship me. "For I am thy" what? "I'm a servant." Let's go on. "Servant of and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." Worship God. So I'm a servant of them which keep the sayings of the book. Now, isn't it just like the devil to try to keep you, get you not to keep the sayings of the book? Why? Because he knows that the angel's going to serve you based on your keeping the sayings of the book. I I know sometimes it looks tight, but keep the sayings of the book. All right. Now, angels are on assignment. They've been sent here to take you into God's promises, to get his promises or what he has covenanted in his word, to get it manifested in your life. I call them covenant enforcing agents, just like you see DEA, drug enforcement agency. This is a covenant enforcing agency. This is the angels of the Lord sent here to enforce God's covenant. Now, in dealing with these angels, don't provoke them. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. Verse 20. Now, this is after Moses had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, bondage. They are now in the wilderness. God's plan, of course, is to take them over into Canaan. The wilderness is not a place where God wanted them to reside. That was a transition place for them to get into the best of God. God has designs and promises for all of us, and he wants us to be partakers of those promises. Now, look at verse 20. Here is God speaking to Moses. Behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So God has an angel assigned to bring you into a place where he's prepared for you. Beware of him. How many of y'all ever come by somewhere that says, beware of dog? No, beware of junkyard dog. That's the meanest kind of dog you can find. All right, ain't nothing in there but junk. I don't know why they got a dog there, but all right, now. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. There it is right there, underline it. Okay. Don't provoke him. Watch this. For he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Boy, the more you acquire, the more it requires. Canaan is a place for grown-ups. Ain't no place to play. They got giants in there. They're waiting on you. But God has given us the victory. He said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He's just telling you right now, you're not by yourself. You ain't going to be standing by yourself. I got something assigned to you and with you, and they're going to serve you. Now beware, don't provoke him. Then he goes on down. And he says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary, glory to God, to thine adversaries. Now notice, he said, do all that I speak. So see, angels are under authority that they have to do what God says. Hey, they're not like you and I. You and I got a choice of free will. They don't. That's what Satan tried to do. He tried to use his free will. He tried to use free will and got kicked out of heaven. He and one third of the heavenly host. Now they got to do what God says. And he goes, send his angels now. And his angel, beware now. Don't provoke him. Now we're going to find out what provoke means. Okay. Now look what it says here. Verse 23. For my angels shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Havites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Who's going to cut them off? God will. Who's going to go before you? Angels. Now, how do you have to receive this? Come on, say it again. By faith. Can you see them? Can you feel them? Can you touch them? Can you smell them? Can you taste them? You're going to have to get it by faith. You're going to have to believe that there's an angel in front of you and he's going to protect you. Is this making sense to you? Now, verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, talking about those in Canaan now, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Now, don't provoke this angel. Let's look at this for a minute, because this is very important to us now. Come on over here with me to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 18. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, talking about Abraham now, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Who do you think he was entertaining? Angels. Unaware. Now look at, they look like people. Isn't it interesting? Now we know angels can look like angels and be unseen, but look how God can command them or do whatever he does, and they take a form of a person who's sitting beside you. There are angels in here right now. So then the angel began to prophesy about Sarah. And verse 9, they said, And they said unto him, Where is thy wife, Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she couldn't have children anymore at that point. Verse 12, Therefore Sarah laughed with herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Now I know I'm old, but this man here is old too. So I'm saying now the angel is delivering a message from God. And when they give him, he gives them that message. If they receive that message, God can work a miracle in that situation and do some impossible things. Now, what happened? Verse 14, the angel's talking. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you that question. Is it? All right. Go on down in verse 16. And the men rose up thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's a question for you. Will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? No. He'll never. He always plans for a way out for the righteous. No matter what's coming. Y2K. It doesn't make any difference. Look at verse 24. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Okay. But far Be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Glory to God. This is Abraham talking kind of strong here. Verse 26. And the Lord said, if I've found in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare it. I'll spare it and all the places for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, wait. Go, hold on now there. Verse 28. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you still destroy it? They said, well, if there are 45, I'll not destroy it. Well, hold on there. Well, let me ask you another question now. Verse 29. Peradventure there shall be 40 found. Verse 30. Peradventure there be 30 found. Lord said, I'll not destroy it. Verse 31. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. Lord said, I won't destroy it. Then he gets him down to 10. Verse 32. And I'll speak but once, one more time. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And the Lord said, I'll not destroy it if 10 righteous are found in that city. And verse 33. And the Lord went his way. And they gone. They went on. But verse 1 of chapter 19 says, and there came two angels to where? Sodom at evening. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into thy servant's house, and tarry all night, wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Well, they tried to do that, but the people who were burning with perversion or homosexual passions tried to get these angels and tried to get them to have relations with them. But Lot pulled them in the house, and Lot even offered his daughters, who were virgins. I don't know why he did that, but he offered his daughter. He said, don't take these men, they are guests. And the passion burned so much in this perversion until they were still pressing in, trying to get a hold of these men and bring them out there. And the angels waved their hands, and all the men who pursued them were blinded instantly. All right, let's keep going. Okay. Now they rose up the next morning. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot and said, arise now and take thy wife and two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered, this is Lot delaying now, the men laid hold upon his hand, snatched him with his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that she said, escape, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Now this is what the angel said, okay? Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now notice what the angel said. Escape and don't look what? Back. Don't look back. Now let's just deal with this word escape for a moment. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews again, chapter 1. I'm coming right back there now, so put something there so you can come right back to it. Hebrews chapter 1. Now here are these angels coming down here to rescue Lot. Now how did they get down there? Who made it so that they ensured that the angels would get Lot out of there before this destruction of the city took place? Abraham. What did Abraham do? He interceded. He interceded. God heard that, and God made it so. God gave his word that if he could find 10 righteous in there, he wouldn't destroy it. And he thought, sure, it'd be 10 righteous. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 1, again in verse 14. Are they not all, what? Ministering spirits sent forth to minister, saith, for them who shall be heirs of salvation. In other words, salvation is deliverance. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And take away this chapter stuff. This was a letter. It had no chapters and verses. It was just like you write a letter to your friend. But at the liberty of the translators, they broke it up into a way that you could capitalize it and make it meaningful to you, and they broke it up in chapter and verse. But look what they said here. Just read it as if it was one letter. Therefore. Now, anytime you find therefore, what do? You got to find out what is what. Therefore. So it's connecting something. It's talking about the angels. It's still talking about them. Therefore, we ought to give heed, a more earnest heed, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we, say the word, escape if we neglect so great a deliverance? If we neglect angels, how are we going to get the job done? So now, come on back over here with me very quickly. And back over here to Genesis again. Now he told Lot and his family, don't look what?
Back.
Don't look what?
Back.
Don't look what?
Back.
Now I'm saying that to you, that you might have come out of some place and God has delivered you out of there. Yes. And he has brought you in here. Don't look back. Some of you have left some things and God separated you from them because that man that you was messing around with, you didn't have no business with him anyway. God didn't want you to marry that man. Don't look back. I can go on and on. Some of you have got some things that you did in your past and there's some bad road behind you, but don't
look back.
Don't do it. Don't look back. Glory to God. I left my heart. No, you didn't leave it nowhere. You got it with the Lord. It ain't in San Francisco. Now, so, verse 18, and Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant, we turn to Genesis chapter 19 now, verse 19. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Now the angel pointed to him where to go. But now he gonna start arguing with the angel. When I can, now God knows what's in you. He knows why he brought you here. He knows why he's leading you where he's leading you. Stop arguing with the angel. Verse 20, behold now, this city is near to flee to unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Now he's trying to escape to this little city. Verse 22. So the angels allowed it. Hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou hast come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called what? Zoar, which means little faith. So now, or symbolic of little faith, my point to you is, God had a plan for them. Abraham had prayed for them. He wanted to get them out. I mean, set them totally free of all this stuff and all the spirits that were probably trying to get on them. It came from this place. He wanted to separate them. But here's Lot. He didn't go far. He just went just a little bit. But God is doing something. See, when God starts leading your life through angels, you're going to have to let God lead. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. Now look what happened. And verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife did what? Look back from behind him, and what happened to that woman? She turned into a pillar of salt. Don't provoke your angel. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. Let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Here we are. And God now, where Abraham is aware of angels. And look what he said in verse 1. And Abram was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. How many of you know those who are born again should not be unequally what?
Yoked.
That means that you are and you're not supposed to marry somebody who's not. Now, if you're born again and you've been married already when you got saved and you are married to somebody that's not, we just start praying for them that they can be brought out. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Now, it says here, go to my country and bring a wife back for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring my son, thy son, again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware, there's that word again, that thou bring not my son thither again. So he's saying, don't take my son back there. Now look at the next part, verse 7. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his what? Angel before thee, and thou shalt come on, take a wife unto my son from this. Notice how he's going to get this woman for his son. How's he going to do it? The ministry of angels. He's going to send the angel. He's going to send the angel to lead Eleazar to the right woman. Isn't this interesting? Now I know that you got to get the right woman and the woman got to get the right man. Now I remember when I told this story this morning, but I'm going to have to tell it again. When it was time for me and I chose my wife. She didn't choose me, I chose her. Here she was working at a company. We both worked for a company called IBM. And she was sitting there at the desk. She was a systems engineer. I was in sales. And I was managing sales. And I was walking down the hallway going to see one of my friends, going to his office. And I was going down there, and she was sitting right there. And I looked over and glanced at her. And it just when I glanced at her, something went off in me. Now, I was real cool, and I didn't look back to let her know that something went off. Are you following what I'm saying? I just one time, and just went on in. Went on in the office. And then once I got in that office, I said, hey, don't say nothing. Who is that? I believe God puts things together. Glory to God. So what happened is I remember telling a friend of mine, a guy named Vernon. I said, Vernon, there's something happening here. There's this woman. Now, I understand. I wasn't looking for anybody. I was serving God. I just wanted to serve God. I just had God. I wanted to serve God. And see, if folks would just take time and serve God, he'll bring it to you, man. You be anxious for nothing. Well, I'm so lonely. Well, you keep thinking that and saying that. That's why you're lonely. But anyway, so I said, I went to Vernon and I said, hey, man, something's going off in me. Every time I see this lady, man, something happens to me and so forth. And he went into one of them Pentecostal dances. I said, man, what is it, man? What is it? The Lord is telling me, don't touch it. So we were saying, don't touch that relationship with any of your human ability. Relationships and God putting people together is too delicate. That's why the Bible says what God puts together, no man puts asunder. A lot of this stuff been put together with some flesh. Well, I'm going down to the club. I'm going to get my tight stuff and pull my stuff all the way up. I'm going down there. Man, you need to quit that. Ain't nothing in that. You're going to get something you don't want. It'll look good for a while. The devil can always make something look good for a while. But some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Shall I go on? All right, so come on, I'm about done. So look what is it. So go on down to verse 39. We get another picture of that. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his what? Angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and out and of my father's house. Now, it's interesting how he did this, how he got the angel to go. See? He said it. Glory to God. He released the angel by faith. Now, I'm going to get into that in just a few minutes, but I want to show you something else. So Lot's wife provoked the angel. Let's go and look at another place somebody provoked the angel in a more modern time, over the time of when Jesus was born, during that time. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1. Don't provoke who? Luke chapter 1. Are you there? Start at verse 5. And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So he was supposed to, Zacharias was supposed to, he was a priest, go into the temple of the Lord and do temple maintenance or temple worship and so forth. And it says here, verse 10, and the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. So they were outside praying. Now let's keep going with this. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now let me just bring something out. I don't know of any person that through their own ability has been delivered in the midst of them having fear. In other words, true enough, somebody else might pray for you. But if for you praying for yourself, you're going to have to pray in faith. Are you following what I'm saying? Now look what happened here. Verse 13, and the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name, who?
John.
Who?
John.
Who?
John.
John. The angel said that. Now watch this. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, and in the spirit and the power of Elias, or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. Now what is he doing now? He's provoking an angel. Let me tell you what he said. Yeah, beware. He is saying here, how do I know you're telling me the truth? Now here's this angel that appeared in the temple while he's doing some work. And here he's going to start questioning this angel. Now, the angel told him what the child's name was going to be. See? And so forth. And now he's starting to question, well, wait a minute now. How are you going to do it? Then he ended up telling the angel, well, show me a sign. Well, he said the wrong thing. He provoked him. Verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things be performed. because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. There are many people, even when I talk about the wealth transfer, they're trying to feel it. They're trying to logically put it. Hey, you can't, my friends. This is time for the wealth transfer. It's going to happen. All you need to do is line your speech up with the word of God so that God can do what he wants to do in your life. He provoked him. Well, show me a sign. Okay, you're going to have a sign. Wham! You're dumb in your mouth. You can't speak. Until this baby comes. Why? Because his speech could have negated God's promise and set that thing back. And it's a place I believe you can get with God that you better either line up or get out of the way, because it's going to happen. Yes, sir. You see what I'm saying here? So he was dumb. Verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And then he came out and couldn't speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he had beckoned to them and remained speechless. Can't you see him now? Well, Zacharias, what happened in there? What happened? Zach, hold on. We need some information. Yeah, you got to go, all right. Don't provoke your angel. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth, full time, came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name, him, Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, No, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There's no one in your family named John. And they made sign unto his father how he would be called. And he asked for a writing pad, a table. And he wrote, said, His name is John. And his mouth was opened immediately. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe, now I'm not done with this, we're going to continue this next time, but I believe one of the things that has set a lot of people back in this church, in your life, has been your mouth. Has been your mouth. I'm going to show you one scripture. Turn to it. Turn to Psalms chapter 19. And I think that's where it is. Psalms chapter 19. That was Job's problem. Psalms chapter 19. John, Psalms chapter 17. Have you got it? Look at verse 3. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not what? Transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept who? Me from the path of the destroyer. Your mouth can keep you from the path of the destroyer. Did y'all get something out of that today? We'll continue next time. Give yourself a hand. Praise God.